Hello and welcome to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Chris, and today you guys are running the show. I am answering questions that many people have sent me. I asked for questions you guys delivered, and there's a bunch. If you would like to be on a show and with one of your questions that you have about pay per click, particularly Google Ads, that's what I specialize in, you can send an email to paidsearchpodcast@gmail.com. That's where all the questions go. If you want me to see them for the podcast, I pop in there right before the show, look and see what people have sent me, and choose some good questions. And we have a bunch. Of course, it wouldn't be the Paid Search Podcast if I didn't have questions from all over the world. It's crazy. I'm in my little tiny house here in big old Texas, and I get questions from people that I probably couldn't even point to the country and know where it was for some. It's awesome. I love that I'm making an impact across the world. So you guys keep it up. I appreciate the feedback and the questions. Before I jump into the questions, I want to remind you, if you've listened to the show, you know what I'm about to say, because many of you have testified. You have told me, Chris, Opteo has changed the way I manage Google Ads. It has changed so much about my Google Ads management process and what it's done for my clients or my own account. You know that I'm not blowing smoke here. This is the Google Ads management software that the only one that matters. It is the number one management software. So if you are a business owner trying to understand, what am I doing wrong? How can I get more out of Google Ads? If you're an agency, you have a lot of clients, and how can we prioritize our clients and make sure that we're getting the most use out of our clients' accounts for the limited time that I have to manage all my, you know, tons and tons of accounts? This system, this Opteo system, is designed for those solutions. Big or small, you can get it done faster with Google Ads using Opteo. So you log in on Opteo, you pull your account up, and it helps you to see what things are you missing. What are the red flags? What are the red alerts on your account that you may have never seen before? Critically important. So be sure and pay attention to those things when you see them in Opteo, because it's gonna pull your butt out of the fire. It's gonna be a massive help for you. That's opteo.com/PSP, opteo.com/PSP to get a 2-month free trial. You can try everything I've talked about, this amazing software, for free for 2 months, 8 weeks, opteo.com/PSP. And it's important, if you listen to the show every single week, it's important that you give them a try, because they are my one and only sponsor. They have helped this podcast go for years now. And I know many new listeners tell me, Chris, it's amazing that you've got so much content out there for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. And it's because Opteo has sponsored for so long now, it is important that you give them a try. It is something that you can do to thank me for the work that I'm doing here. Okay, with that behind us, let's jump into the questions. I'm actually going to devote the entire show to questions, and I know that people usually give me some context and some background on their questions. I just want to know, if you wrote in a question that gets answered today, I may have edited, shortened, cut, you know, some of this stuff. Many of you will say very nice things to me and, you know, give me, you know, kind of the history of how you interfaced with the podcast over the years. I appreciate that. I love it, but I did cut it out for today's show to keep it slim and to the point. So let's continue. First question is from Samantha from Australia. Samantha has been on the I've answered questions from Samantha before. I appreciate you reaching out again, Samantha, and ask me, Chris, is it crucial to set up enhanced conversions on your account, or is this just another thing Google wants to control in our account? So I've actually got this question from multiple people about enhanced conversions, because Google recently sent out a barrage of emails about enhanced conversions. Be sure and turn these on. Turn these on. It's very important. Well, let's talk about it. Should you turn it on? What should you be aware of about enhanced conversions? Well, first of all, enhanced conversions does essentially it takes your manual CPC that you have. So if you have a manual CPC, and it can disregard your manual CPCs. Okay, that sounds really bad, and I'm framing it in the worst possible context, because I'm going to go with really bad into really good, and you find the balance here. So the really bad part of it is that it can disregard your manual bids. If you have a $5 manual bid, it could put a $15 click on a keyword. There is no maximum bid that it could do. But Google has told us in their documentation that it will not go past what your typical average CPC is. So it will not raise your average CPC beyond, I think, a certain percentage or something like that. So it does have some regulations kind of built in, but it did away with any kind of artificial capacity on how much it can bid up or bid down. So it's allowing the system to bid up and down without regulations, but still within a acceptable range that's not going to be shooting your average CPC to crazy high numbers. So it's somewhat reasonable, okay? But it's still kind of scary because you give up control. What do you give up control for? What do you give back? After you give up control, you should be getting something back. And what you get back is essentially a taste of what automated enhanced bidding would give you. So the advantage of target CPA, maximized conversions, all that kind of bidding, is that it brings in information about the person doing the search, not just the search term. So you get a taste of that. It allows a little bit of that into your manual CPC bidding system. So, you know, Samantha asks, should I do this? Is it important? Is it crucial? Is it not important? Or is it just another chip off the block of, you know, my control of an account? The answer is, unfortunately, yes and no. I mean, you should do it, but you should know to what effect it has on your account. So my suggestion is enable it for an account that has significant conversions. And I use the word significant because everyone must apply that in different ways. If you have very, very scarce conversions and you only get one a month, this may not be a good tool for you. If you get 100 conversions a month, this may be a great tool for you. If you get 15 or 10 a month and you're currently getting nothing for the past 3 months, this might not be a good tool for you because it uses conversion data to make these bidding change percentage stuff happen. So it's really reliant on the fact that you're getting conversions and that conversion data is active and it's happening on a regular basis. So that's really important. So if you feel like you fit the bill, then turn it on. And what you should do is you should make yourself a note somewhere, write it down, document when this happened. And after a month, 2 months, 6 months, 2 weeks, whatever is appropriate for you, go back and check what changed. Particularly, take a look at your conversion rate. Take a look at your average CPC. Take a look at your search impression share. Take a look at your position metrics. How did those change? Good? Bad? Do you like the effect? And if you aren't sure, maybe turn it back off and see what happens. Does it go back to what it was before? Does it get worse? Does it get better? That's really the best answer because there's no way that I can tell anyone that this is good, you should always do this, or this is bad, you should never do this. There's no definite answer one way or the other. The best answer is if it works, do it. If it works to give Google a little bit more leeway in your account and your reward that you get for that is better performance, great. I am always in favor of better performance if I give up a little bit. What I'm not in favor of is just giving up everything and trusting and crossing my fingers and hoping that Google's going to get me what I want. That is entirely inappropriate. All right, so next we have Jeff from Manchester. And like I said, I edited these questions, so it's going to be shorter than you wrote, Jeff. And maybe it's Jeff. I don't know. How do you go about measuring your RSA's effectiveness when all Google gives you is impression data of all the headline combinations? Do you have a sweet spot for how many headlines you add in a single RSA, or is there anything you do to measure the different headlines' effectiveness of an RSA? Okay, so first of all, let me pause right here. I like to make this podcast both approachable for beginners and advanced. So for the beginners, what Jeff is talking about is responsive search ads. He's referring to RSA as just a fancy term for an ad on a search campaign. Okay, so all the different headlines you can add. How do you measure the effectiveness of these ads? And how I go about measuring the effectiveness, honestly, is just looking at the overall CTR. Okay, if I look at the overall CTR and I feel that it is artificially low compared to the quality of the search terms, the integrity of the search terms, you know, if high funnel, low funnel, that's going to matter. You know, very, very high funnel is going to probably have a much lower CTR, and a very, very low funnel hopefully would have a much higher CTR. And that also directly affects my positioning. If I very rarely show in first position, that's going to make a difference, going to have a lower CTR. So my effectiveness, unfortunately, I wish I had an answer that was much more scientific, but Google has taken and ripped the science out of our ads. When we lost expanded text ads, we lost the science. We didn't just lose the ability to write ads a certain way. We lost the science of ad writing. Google has stripped that from us. It's unfortunate. We didn't choose to give that up. Google took that. So what I'm left with is a lot of gut feeling. And that's unfortunate. And I've talked about ad copywriting and stuff like that before, but usually what I do is, you know, if I feel concerned about an ad, I write in tones and themes in an ad. If I'm concerned about an ad not being right, I don't usually pin an ad, although sometimes I may go in that direction. But what I really push on is, you know, maybe I need a different theme, right? If I mix themes, and when I say themes, I mean, you know, heavy call to action, heavy, you know, click now, get your estimate now kind of stuff, right? That's a very heavy CTA call to action kind of ad, as opposed to something that might be a little more friendly. Get more information, very affordable solution. It's, you know, talk to our friendly staff. You know, that might be a much softer kind of CTA. So I try tones, I try messaging, and I don't like to mix them too much because I don't have any control on the amount of percentage that those are shown. So I try and be very strategic in my messaging and my themes. And if I have a question about it, I might write a second ad and compare that. But unfortunately, a lot of it just comes down to gut feeling. I mean, how do I feel about the ad? How do I feel about the CTR? You know, I might look at the combinations and just kind of see what Google's showing. But yeah, unfortunately, it is not a science anymore. You know, the days of creative ad writing on Google are gone. So Jeff goes on with the second question, which I will allow. Many of you do have second questions. Sometimes I honor them, sometimes I don't. But I did like this second question. He asks, my second question is about how to determine if your campaign is trying to do too much. And he goes on to describe, you know, the situation. But basically, the question is there a ratio of dollars to geography? Obviously, some geography is going to make a bigger impact. But basically, how do you know you're not stretching the budget too thin? And the reason I picked this question is because I don't think anyone's ever asked me this. And this is it's a really good question. I have a very specific answer for you. So first, situation A. Situation A would be a person who is targeting very specific phrase match, maybe exact match keywords. And they're targeting high, you know, high positioning, rather aggressive positioning on these ads, right? They're trying to hit first position 50% of the time, 40% of the time. They're trying to consume high integrity in where they're showing up, okay? So that they're very visible. Now, this ad is getting first position a lot, maybe 50, 60% search impression, 50, 60% absolute top, and maybe 80% top. But its overall search impression share, the overall coverage that the campaign has, or the keyword has, or the ad group has, is 10%, 20%, 25%. Very, very low. In that situation, the campaign is trying to do too much. It is spread too thin. Because the goal of that campaign is to try and dominate a low funnel kind of set of keywords and to be very, very specific in what it's trying to accomplish. And yet it's taking that and spreading that across an entire geographic area that's just consuming the budget very quickly, only getting 10% impression share. So it only shows, you know, once an hour. You know, that's pretty much all they can afford. A couple of impressions an hour is all they're getting. And that's a problem. Now, the other situation would be, let's say someone's using broad match keywords, funneling a very lower kind of position, not getting first position almost ever, maybe 10% absolute top, and bidding relatively low using broad match keywords, maybe doing max clicks, maybe doing max conversions. And this campaign also has 10% search impression share, 25% search impression share. They, however, are not spreading too thin, because the purpose of this is to just kind of weave its way in across a wide variety of searches. It's purposefully doing something that is not particularly aggressive or combative on the marketplace. It just kind of shows with a large collection of keywords and a large collection of search terms and all times of the day and that kind of stuff. So situation A, trying to be very specific, trying to be very targeted and precise, yet has a search impression share of 10%. That's I think that's a bad thing. Spreading too thin. Situation B, being very generalistic, allowing a lot of very loose terms, a lot of different types of traffic. Maybe the bidding strategy is not necessarily controlled with target CPA. It's rather broad. Search impression share is only 10%, 20%. That's fine. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense, Jeff. Appreciate the question. And we will now move on to Irvin, who I don't know where Irvin's from, so I apologize, Irvin. Irvin says, my question is regarding search absolute top impression share, especially for shopping. How much should I pay attention to that metric? All right, so I'm going to say that again. Specifically, Irvin is asking about search absolute top impression share, specifically for shopping. So I picked this one because it's important that you understand what Irvin is saying here. Search absolute top impression share. Now, I don't say that phrase very often because I don't use that metric. This metric, you must understand, Irvin, is a combination of two metrics. And I find many people make this mistake because it's very confusing. In the competitive metrics tab, there's a lot of impression share metrics. But this one is a combination of how much you're getting in the absolute top, what your impression share is in the absolute top. I don't think this is a good metric at all. I don't think that this is appropriate because there's only one instance when you would want to possibly ever look at search absolute top impression share. And that is when you are trying to be absolute domineering on a specific set of keywords. And the fact that you mentioned for shopping I think it's entirely inappropriate that it would be for shopping, because shopping, you don't choose keywords. You don't dominate search impression share with anything in shopping, because you can't force Google to isolate specific keywords. It's very generalistic, very broad. So search absolute top impression share is not a good metric to use, because it's only going to be applicable for maybe someone who is saying, I want to show up for personal injury lawyer exact match in this 20-mile radius, and I want to be first position all the time. How much am I covering that first position? That is the appropriate use of search absolute top impression share. The proper term you should be looking at is just impression share and impression share loss due to rank. Those I've talked about extensively, so I want to be clear about that, because many people make the mistake of looking at the wrong number. And if you look at search absolute top impression share, you must know that is a combination of two metrics. That's absolute top and impression share together. Not something I would put much weight in. So then let's answer the elephant in the room here. I mean, so what should he be looking at? Is it important that you have, is it important that you pay attention to any impression share? And the fact is that yes, for particularly for shopping, I think it's very important to pay attention to lost impression share due to rank, otherwise written as lost IS rank. And lost IS rank is important particularly for shopping, because you're going to be focused on return on ad spend. You're going to be focused on profitability. The lower your lost IS rank number is, the better your ROAS should be. If it's not, if you don't have an excellent ROAS, you should work on bringing up the lost IS rank. So situation A, let's say Joe has a search lost IS rank of 11%, and the ROAS is 800%. Excellent. Let's say all that Joe wanted was, 400% ROAS, and he has 800%. Wonderful. Keep pushing. As long as you're getting good results, you can keep pushing and be more aggressive with that search lost IS rank. Now, Jim, I'm going to get these mixed up because I just used two J names, but Jim has a search lost rank of 11%. But has a ROAS of 0.5, so 50%. Trash, losing money, bad, bad, bad. Jim is making a massive mistake, because Jim is bidding too aggressively and is not prioritizing profits. So Jim better have a pretty good reason for bidding so aggressively, because he is losing money by bidding so aggressively. So I hope that is important. I know that's important. I hope that is clear. All right, now we're going to move to Italy for Alexandre in Italy. It says, Dear Chris, I loved your Principles of Google Ads series. It was the basis I needed. I learned so much that I decided to rebuild my account structure based on the format that you suggested on episode 400, How to Rebuild Your Account. Therefore, I've done my homework, divided the ad groups among three categories, funnel position, type of service, service value, right? That's what I talked about many times, particularly in episode 400. Subsequently, I allocated my high-performing keywords to the most accurate category. So, the question is, what do I do now with the different countries? I advertise in different countries. Should I put them into a different ad group? Should I organize these in some way? I'm asking because I want control over how much I spend in each country when my ads are showing in different locations. So, Alexandre, this I think you answered your question. If you need to itemize and control spend by geographic location, you are only left with two possibilities. The first is to break out your locations by campaign. Country one in this campaign, country two in this campaign, country three in this campaign. That is going to be the most difficult way of doing it because you, every time you create a new campaign, you are doubling the work that you have to do and things you need to check and things that could go wrong. So that could be a massive issue for you. The next concern, or the next possibility that you could do, is you hopefully are using some kind of bidding strategy that is able to do location bids, you know, some kind of bid adjustment like max clicks, you know, something that you can lower the location adjustments for. And in that instance, you could just lower the bidding, like manual bids. You could lower the bids and raise the bids for certain geographic locations. Now, you don't get to control how much is spent. You can just control your bids. So the fact is you definitely do not want to do it by ad group. That is not a distinction based on my prescription of funnel position, type of service, and service value. So, you know, that does not work. So it must either be all in the same campaign, controlling the bids of those countries in the bid adjustment section of the location targeting, or you create new campaigns for every location. That's really the only way to do it. My advice to you is to not sweat the location spend. It only leads to complication. It only leads to difficulty, and any complexity added to Google Ads is complexity that is introducing more risk. I don't like risk in my Google Ads campaigns. I like to control. I like to minimize risk. I like to allow the system to do what it does best to get me traffic as I guide it and organize it and manage it. I do not want to bring in complication merely because I'm concerned that I might spend more in this country and less in this country. Let the numbers speak for themselves. It might be important. Maybe you do need to spend more over here. Maybe there's more value over here versus this other country. So I would discourage you from complicating your account simply because, I must do this amount of, you know, let the numbers decide for themselves. All right, next we go to Eric. And Eric sent in multiple questions, and he asked this question. Hello again, Chris. Your super fan is back with another question for the... Oh, here we go. The guru of Google, the prince of PPC, the sultan of search. Well done. My question today is regarding the best practices rule of your daily budget being X times your target CPA. I have seen a lot of talk about how the algorithm will suffer if your budget is not a certain multiple of your target CPA. But I'm not sure how much of that is just lore versus actual best practices. Can you please give us some of your insight into the relationship between target CPA and daily budget? Thank you. So, good question, Eric. I am going to, just as the short answer, and then I'll expand a little more. The short answer is I lean towards more of just lore. I like the way you put that, you know, just kind of, you know, because lore is such an appropriate term. You can't really nail it down. It's just kind of a, you know, I've heard this, or this is what the rumors tell. I mean, it's very wishy-washy. You know, this is what they say. This is, you know, this is what I see other people say. And a Google rep has told me this. Yeah, I lean towards it being lore because nothing in Google Ads is by the numbers like this. So let me unpack this a bit. I have plenty of accounts that have a low target CPA number, say $50, and only have, you know, $34 a day budget. That is breaking the multiple rule of target CPA to budget. Okay. And they do just fine. And I have seen plenty of accounts that have $50 a day target CPA and have, you know, 3-4 times the daily budget. So they have a $200 a day budget. And these campaigns will see massive fluctuations. I'm not saying that all of them are doing bad. I'm just saying that this rule does not make for a successful campaign. That is ridiculous to think that a specific multiple of your target CPA can somehow lead to success, or that not following this could lead to failure. That is ridiculous. What leads to failure is multiple things. The quality of the traffic. Are you tracking the right kind of conversion? Are you advertising your landing page the right way, your ad copy? What kind of negative keywords do you have? To think that this has any significant impact among all the possibilities, all the levers that you can pull, that is absolutely ridiculous. So let me explain where this lore comes from and what, you know, why people say this and why it's, you know, just a, what you should do. This is the rule of thumb. It's ridiculous because this rule of thumb is just something that Google reps came up with, you know, some algorithm somewhere, spit out somewhere, because this is the best way for accounts that just spin up a new campaign using broad match keywords, high budget, and automated bidding. And you don't have to listen to the show very long to know that those are not things I get behind. I see absolutely no value in spinning up a campaign where you're like, listen, we need $200 cost per conversion. That's what we need to get. And then so the answer is, okay, spend $600 a day. That is ridiculous. Not all companies can do that. Not all companies can take on that kind of risk or that kind of spend. That is crazy. So I don't get behind this at all. I find that it comes from the fact that Google really likes to prescribe high spends. It really likes to prescribe broad reach, high spend, automated bids. Give it 14 days. Give it more time. Try this setting. Turn this on. Turn on auto recommendations. And cross your fingers, walk away, and come back. Let's see. It's fine. Don't look at it. Wait. Give it time. It's bullcrap. I don't believe it. So there you go. Maybe that was a little more heavy-handed than I should have been. But you know, you can tell I get a little passionate about it because I really think that this lore, this idea that you need, that there's a magical number of spend. Because I get this question a lot from new people, you know, saying, how much should we, you know, they're starting in Google Ads for the first time. How much should you spend? As though there's a magic number that you can take. Well, how much do you need per conversion? Multiply that times 4, multiply that times 3, and that's how much you should spend. That's ridiculous. Absolutely not. Good question, Eric. And thank you for the, let's one more time. You want to hear it one more time? Guru of Google, Prince of PPC, Sultan of Search. Boy, beautiful. Last question is from Camden, who has, you guys are going to stick around for this because this last question is a heavy one. I didn't know if I was going to include it or not, but I did include it. I want to remind you real quick, optio.com/PSP for Google Ads management. online tool that just does so much you just can't imagine. You will not know the value of the tool unless you try it. There's a link in the description, and everyone tells me, Chris, I can't believe I ignored your advice for so long. Gosh, I should have been using Optio for forever now. Believe me, optio.com/PSP for a 2-month free trial. So Camden sends in a question, and it's a little long here. And it's really not long, but it's a little weighty, is what I should say. Hey, Chris, I spoke with a fellow PPC nerd at one of the larger agencies in my area. And we had a discussion I thought was a bit alarming, kind of like lose sleep alarming. He talked about a discussion he had with a Google Ads employee, manager of agencies in North America or something like that. He said, the Google Ads employee, said that within 18 months to 2 years, Google wants to go full automation, leaving managers with no input controls other than being able to change landing pages, daily budget, messaging, and offline conversion data input, taking away completely things like bidding strategies, keyword selection, and other more detailed things in Google Ads. Now, needless to say, anyone with a healthy distrust of Google sees this as an apocalypse-level takeover of control. I'm curious, have you heard similar? What do you think that it would look like? Okay, Camden, so tell you what. I didn't want to mention this, but I have heard this, and it is absolutely alarming. And it definitely bothered me back in 2010 when I first heard it. All right. Right. Like 15 years ago when I heard it. And then when I heard it again a couple years later. And then when I heard it again a couple years later. And then when I heard it again a couple years later. This, of course, is something Google wants. And of course, we know they're trying to move towards it, but is manual bidding gone? No. Have I heard, oh, it's going away next year. Oh, exact match is going to be gone. It's going to be broad only. Have I heard that? For decades. And I can say decades, because I've been doing Google Ads for 21 years now. And granted, they didn't talk about it much in the early years, but didn't take long for them to move into, you know, how can we make the most money out of this? Well, we take away keywords. We take away, you know, ways that people can slow down their spend. It's been a pipe dream of Google's for a long time. Yet, we still have exact match. We still have manual bids. We still have the same, we still have search terms. And yes, they've rounded off some of the things in these areas. Yes, they've taken away some of our search terms. Yes, they've taken away the ability to write super specific ad creative. Kind of. You can still pin things. So you actually still have that, just not to the same degree that we used to have it. We still have everything that we had before. It still works largely the same. They've changed some of the rules. Some of the guts of the system works. But the same ad rank formula still applies. The same quality score system still applies. The core of the system's still there. And sure, there might be someday that this would happen. But Camden and all of you guys out there that worry about this, there's not many people I meet nowadays that have been in Google Ads longer than me, so I can speak as kind of a grandpa to you guys. Back in my day, I heard these rumors too. And nothing's ever come of it. So do not let it worry you. And I think about this kind of like the way I thought whenever I heard, you know, rumors of they're gonna do away with summer break in school. You remember, you know, being in school and they talked about, we're going to go from, you know, having summer break, they're going to do year-round school. There will no longer be summer school. And you know what? A lot of the public school system and stuff like that would love to do things like that, but it's always a pipe dream. It's always just a rumor. Oh, they're going to vote on it about this, or it's going to happen. The same kind of thing. There are massive reasons why these things, this would be a massive upset to many accounts. I cannot tell you how many accounts I look at that spend a huge amount of money that still use these old outdated methods, manual bids, exact match keywords, very structured, and they absolutely are anti, you know, moving towards anything that's just automated. It would create a mass exodus of many advertisers, because they would lose precision control. And that is what Google has always had an advantage over many other industries, is that you can have precision control over the kind of traffic that you want, not the person. That's what social media can do, right? Social media shines in that you can target certain people, but very few networks. I don't know if there's any other networks where you can target based on the person's momentary query. Momentary need at that exact instant. There is almost no other instance that you can accumulate that kind of traffic, that kind of value. And if Google did this, it would be doing away with the massive advantage that it's always had. So sleep well. I appreciate you guys listening. You know where to find me. Link is in the description. I'll catch you next time.